The world, all that we can see, feel, hear, taste, and smell, did not come about by chance or by evolution. Rather, the Bible teaches that all of the created order was the master plan of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not only the master architect and workman of creation, he is the end goal of creation itself. Today on Delight in the Word, we pick up part two of a three-part message titled, Jesus Christ is Lord of All. In it, Pastor Paul Tauchus reminds us that everything in all of history is moving towards Christ's ultimate exaltation. Let's turn now to the book of Colossians and chapter 1 and discover how Jesus' creative handiwork reveals his supremacy and his glory as we together delight in the Word.
In the 4th century, a major doctrinal controversy occurred in the church. A teacher from Alexandria named Arius believed and taught that the three persons of the Trinity were not equally God. Specifically, he taught that the Son of God was a created being. This resulted in a major council among the leaders of the church, and that council has become known as the Council of Nicaea. And it was there that the doctrine of Christ was hashed out, fully worked through. And the fruit of this council is known as the Nicene Creed, which clearly states that Christ is of the same substance of the Father. He is very God of very God. He is fully God. That's who Christ is. And tragically, that heresy did not die off after the council. But it continues today. The most prominent false religion that spreads this idea is the Jehovah's Witnesses, who teach that Jesus Christ is not God, but he is a created being. But the context of the word firstborn could not be clearer, and you'll see that momentarily. Christ is not a creature. He is the creator. And the powers that be in the Jehovah's Witnesses know that. They know the context refutes their silly notion, and that's why they have to add words to Scripture. So in their New World Translation, they have added the word other, so that verse 16 says, "For by him all other things were created." And that allows them to teach then that the Son was the first one created, and then he created everything else. And thus the devil is able to keep people blinded from seeing the glory of Jesus Christ and falling down and worshiping him as Lord. Jesus Christ is not a creature. He is the creator. He is the firstborn of creation. That is, he is Lord of creation. He is superior over creation. He is the sovereign one. And we see that in verses 16 and 17. Now look there with me. I want you to see five truths concerning Christ's relationship to his creation. First, notice that he is the architect. He is the architect, verse 16. For by him all things were created. By him can also be translated in him. In other words, Christ is the sphere in which creation took place. It refers to the domain in which all things were made and all things were designed. In other words, what Paul is saying is here is that the Son of God is the mastermind behind the universe. He is the one who designed everything. He is the architect of creation. All things is all-encompassing, verse 16. The master plan was his. The universe was the master plan of the Son of God. He laid it out, and every detail within the master plan was his. And that includes each and every one of us. This isn't theology that's just way out there that we think about and talk about on Sunday mornings. This is everyday theology, folks. You and I are part of his master plan. You know, collectively, we were all created by him. But individually, we were each created by him for his particular purposes, fitting in with the master plan. Christ is the architect of creation. Secondly, notice he is the builder. For by him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So he's not only the designer, but he's also the builder. He created all things. He created all things both in heaven and on earth. That is, everything in every sphere of the universe was made by him. Visible and invisible, the things that can be seen by human observation, which grows all the time, right, as we grow in our knowledge. But it also includes things that we cannot see and perhaps will never see. And thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all ranks of created beings, including angels. That was significant for Paul to write that here, because in the church at Colossae, the believers were being led astray through teachers who propagated angel worship. Not all too uncommon from what we see today. Strangely, some of the best-selling books in so-called Christian bookstores have to do with angels and the unbiblical things that people believe are said about them. So Paul is correcting bad theology here. No angel is worthy of worship. That's what he's saying. No angel is worthy of worship. Only Christ is worthy. Why? Because he made the angels. You don't worship the creation, you worship the Creator. See, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. See, the universe was created by the word of God. Who is the word of God? Christ is the eternal word of God. John's gospel says, in the beginning was the word, the Logos, the manifestation of the unseen God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The eternal Word made the universe. When the world was created, Christ was the master workman. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? By speaking words. And then God said, let there be light. And then God said, and then God said, and then God said. He created through the eternal word. Christ. There's a third truth I want you to see. He is also not only the architect and the builder, but he's the goal. Jesus Christ is the goal of creation. Well, where do I get that from? Well, look at the end of the verse. All things were created through him and for him. For him. Creation was not only made by Jesus Christ, but it was made for him. That is, all of creation, all of earth history is moving toward one final goal, the ultimate worldwide glorification of Jesus Christ as Lord. Everything is moving toward his ultimate exaltation. Jewish rabbis taught that the world was created for the Messiah, and they were right. Everything is moving toward the consummation of the glory of Jesus Christ. So every time man observes the intricacies and the complexities of the universe, it should cause him to look to Christ and to praise him. That's not what happens, is it? because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the glory of Jesus Christ and man's rebellious nature. Always looks for some other explanation. When man gives glory to impersonal forces or credits the silly notion of Mother Nature, the glory of Jesus Christ is diminished and hidden from the sight of those who should fall down and worship Him. He is the goal. Everything has been created for Him, and that includes you and me. We were created by Him and for Him. And only when we are rescued by the grace of God and brought into His family and we were reconciled to God does this ability to live for Him become a reality. Do you believe this? Do you believe that you were created by Jesus Christ? And do you believe that you were created for Him? For His purposes, for His glory. Are you living for Him? Are you pursuing the purpose for which He made you? Or do you have your own agenda for your life and you're not really too interested in what God has planned? See, we only find the fullest satisfaction and joy in knowing the One who made us and why. Christ is the goal. Is He your goal? There's a fourth truth about Christ here, and that is He is the preexistent One. Look at verse 17. And He is before all things. The Son of God eternally existed before all things were created. See, this is another affirmation of His deity. How could He be a creature when He existed before creation? And He, in verse 17, is emphatic. He Himself, He and no other, is before all things. See, Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He is the pre-existent One. When Jesus made this known, it almost got Him stoned, you may remember, from John 8. Jesus said to the Jews, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." In other words, before Abraham was born, I existed. The Jews knew what Jesus meant when He referred to Himself as I am, because they knew that only God is the I am. And so they picked up stones to throw at Him, it says. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple. Jesus Himself said after His resurrection, after His ascension to heaven, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come." Psalm 102, the songwriter praised God for His eternal nature. Listen to these beautiful words. "Of old You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But You are the same, and Your years have no end." That's the Creator. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the pre-existent One who is worthy of our worship. And then there's a fifth truth concerning Christ and His relationship to creation. I want you to see this. He is also the sustainer. Look at the end of verse 17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. In him, all things cohere, all things stick together. So the universe continues to exist because of the sustaining power of Christ. Hebrews 1:3 says, Christ upholds the universe by the word of his power. It's been said that gravity holds everything together. It is gravity that keeps our world from exploding into pieces. Well, if gravity holds the world together, then Jesus holds gravity together. And Christ will continue to hold everything together until his purposes are fulfilled. Christ will continue to preserve the created universe as we know it until it has fully served the purpose for which he made it. The scripture says one day he's going to destroy it all and make a new heaven and a new earth. In the meantime, he upholds it by the word of his power to accomplish his goal. Peter says of those who mock the Lord's promise to return in 2 Peter 3, for they deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. Speaking of Noah's flood. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. So this world will continue to be held together by the Lord Jesus Christ until that final day of judgment. And our responsibility as his followers is to get the good news to as many people as possible who might be saved before that dreadful day comes. Christ is Lord of the revelation, and he is Lord of the creation. Thirdly, please see with me that Christ is Lord of the new creation. He is Lord of believers. He is Lord of the church. This is seen in verses 18, 19, and 20. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Robert Grimacki was a professor of Bible and Greek at Cedarville University for more than 40 years, and he writes in his commentary on this verse, the focus on Christ's preeminence now changes from the old natural creation to the new spiritual creation. The Creator now becomes the Redeemer. Isn't that great? Our Creator has become our Redeemer. Our Creator, the one who Adam and Eve rebelled against, and then we have followed suit and rebelled against. He has become our Redeemer, the one to rescue us. The Lordship of Christ extends beyond the created world to reigning over the church. Literally, it reads, he himself is the head. That is, only Christ qualifies to be the head of his body. The head of the church is not an overweight man in Rome. The head of the church is Christ. And Christ alone. Paul calls the church the body of Christ. That is, the church is a living organism. As the head, Jesus Christ is the one who gives the body its direction and its life. The word head here in verse 18 refers to functional authority, and that's how it's used in the New Testament. For example, 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So head refers to functional authority. And that functional authority is part of God's design. Now the question is, how does Christ do this? How does Christ carry out his functional authority? Well, he does it by means of the authority of the Scriptures. The living Word, Christ, has given to us the written Word, the Scriptures. And the Scriptures is the mind of God in written form. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is the mind of God in written form. So the living Word, Christ, rules his church by the scepter of his written Word, which is the Bible. See, I think one of the marvels of salvation is that believers have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Everyone in this room and everyone on the earth who has been born again by the Spirit of God, trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, has the Holy Spirit living within him or her. That is a marvel. And what that means then is that when we open this book, we have the author of the book living inside of us. We have the mind of Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2. So when it comes to what our priorities should be as a church and how we should function, we are not left to ourselves. We don't lick our finger and stick it up in the air and see which way the church winds are blowing to decide what we do. We have the blueprint already. It's right here. When we align ourselves with the Scriptures, then we live in obedience to Christ, who is our head. When we stray from the Scriptures, then we are disobedient to Christ, who is our head. It's as simple as that. There's really nothing mysterious about it. We don't have to send all of our pastors to a special class on church marketing. This is the blueprint. We either follow it or we don't follow it. So what does that mean? Well, what does it mean that Christ is the head? What are the implications? Well, there are five of them. Five truths concerning Christ and his position as head of the church. Notice with me, please. First, he is the originator. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning. The word beginning here refers to origin, or better, the originating power. Jesus promised in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. Jesus is the originator of the church. He also made it clear that establishing the church would require his death. Now, isn't that interesting? I'm going to build something, but can't build it until I'm dead. He said to his disciples in Mark 12, have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The foundation of the church could not have been laid without the cornerstone. And Christ could not have become the cornerstone without first being rejected and crucified. But he did not remain in the grave. He did not remain in the grave. The amens ought to be a little bit louder. Thank you. 3 days later, the Father raised him from the dead, which leads us to our second truth. He is the life. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. See, as the firstborn, he is the supreme ruler of the dead ones. That's literally what Paul is saying. He who created the natural world out of nothing is the same one to bring spiritual life to sinners and gather them into his body, the church. He has accomplished this through his sin-atoning death and his victorious resurrection. And so in Revelation 1, John writes of the Lord Jesus, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Jesus is the originator, and he is the sustainer. He's the life.
The universe and all of the created order, including us, exist because of the sustaining power of Christ. And Jesus will continue to preserve creation until it has fully served his purposes and until the final day of judgment. If you'd like to listen to this message again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org. Our website contains many helpful resources, including books and blog posts written by Pastor Paul Tauchus. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. Please join us next time as we conclude the message, Jesus Christ is Lord of all, as we together delight in the Word.